And now I'd like to introduce our guest speaker this morning by not talking about him. And I will explain what I mean. I'm going to talk, I'm just not going to talk about him. I grew up for many years listening to someone that I have no hesitation and don't think it's special pleading to say was the most eloquent rabbinic voice in the country, and I didn't realize something important about what I was hearing. When I was a child and I listened to my father speak, I didn't know that I was listening to my mother speak. Because, you see, I hadn't yet been married. But now that I have been married for 15 years, let me share a secret with you. When you live with someone, and you grow with them, and you struggle with them, and you nurse each other through illnesses, and you raise children together, you cannot speak only in your own voice. And for many, many years, the voices of women in particular in our tradition were not unheard, they were disguised. They were disguised in the voices of the men who gave words to what they had learned. Each Shabbat, when you listen to me, you're not only hearing me. Because all the years of our marriage, everything that I learned from Ellie comes to you. And everything that I learned from my father was really my mother's voice as well, only I didn't know it until I lived long enough to be in the same position that my father was in day after day and week after week and year after year. So I thought, even though his long career as a rabbi was garlanded with so many accomplishments that I could spend the next 10 minutes just telling you about his various honors, awards, positions, and so on, it would not be appropriate, now that I'm a little older and a little wiser, to introduce my father to you this morning. Instead, although you will only be hearing his voice, it is my pleasure to introduce my parents, Elaine and Rabbi Gerald Wolpe.
Shabbat Shalom. First of all, I'd like to thank Rabbi Wolpe for his invitation to this pulpit. I always admire his courage in having a retired pulpit rabbi come to his pulpit, but he is indeed correct, and I'm a little bit taken aback by what he just said because of the nature of what I wanted to share with you today. It's almost eerie. Many years ago, one of my teachers, the great Mordechai Kaplan, would write a series of articles, which he later brought into book form, called Random Thoughts. There was no sermonic undertone to it, but just a series of ideas that he wanted to share. So this morning, because of the nature of this service, I'm going to spare you a sermon and deal with some random thoughts. 22 years ago, my wife faced a brutal challenge. For the second time in her life, she was going to have to learn how to speak. The first time was just the natural maturation of a child who actually was learning two languages, the English language of her society and the Yiddish of her home. Later it was joined by Hebrew. The second time she had to learn how to speak was a result of the rupture of two brain aneurysms, which had impacted upon the Broca region of her brain, the center of speech. Her thoughts were clear. Her ideas were as well formulated as before. But the damage of that region made it impossible for her to translate those thoughts into speech. And you can imagine the incredible frustration of that aphasia. During her therapy, a new technique had been devised, which was quite remarkable. Neurobiologists had discovered that the music center of the brain was apart from the Broca region, the speech center. And so they did something quite remarkable called melodic intonation therapy, where they taught her how to speak through singing. She could not say, "I am hungry." It just didn't work. But she could say, "I am hungry." Now, if you think that's remarkable, think about something for one moment. Take one of your favorite songs. Hopefully it has sophisticated lyrics of a Cole Porter or a Lorenz Hart. Now recite the verses for me. You'll find it very difficult to do. Put the music with it, and the words just flow. Or if you want to be very Jewish, and it seems appropriate this morning, take Haggadah, or Dayenu. Recite the verses for me. Ilu nosan, nosan lono. I can do it because I'm a rabbi. But you can't do it as easily as when the music appears. Suddenly the music produces the words. Or think one moment about the holiest night of the Jewish calendar. You come to the synagogue and you are touched and moved and exalted by Kol Nidre. Have you ever read the words? They're quite uninspiring. It's a legal formula. But put the music to them and your heart and soul soars. For speech is not a succession of words. It is inflections, intonation, tempo, rhythm, melody. There is no way that we know when speech began. Scholars argue over it in every form possible. Speech does not leave fossils. But they have noticed one other remarkable thing. Anthropologists and archaeologists have found primitive musical instruments. The Neanderthal man, who came to an end in the progression of evolution, had flutes next to the burial places, so they must have played music as part of the funeral procession. It is so amazing that we have been given the gift of music. And when you hear the tunes from this pulpit, the words leap at you. The words become vital because you can sing them. So I leave you with one other thought, one final thought. I have always been amazed by the insight of the psalmist who said, "Shiru l'Adonai shir chadash." Sing to the Lord a new song. What's the new song? It's probably the same tune. But every time you sing it, every time you hear it, every time the words come to you, your memory soars. If it's Dayenu and Haggadah, you're back at the Seder of your parents and grandparents. If it's Kol Nidre, you remember the one who was sitting next to you as you thought about the new year. And as you hear the new song, last night, the whole congregation just seemed to merge into the incredible music that came from this pulpit. You'll be singing a song of words, of hope, that reach not only your lips, but your mind and your soul. Shabbat Shalom.